little review and a few little tidbits of extra information on the GI system.
On the GI? The GI?
The entire GI system.
Review
and a few new things. So some of it.
Okay.
So some is pertaining to the large block. Okay, what's the reason for using double contrast? CDB post a wall. Okay, you can demonstrate diverticula better, polyps, masses, anything adhering to the wall will be demonstrated better. Ulcers in the GI system.
Lots of other things.
The reason for double contrast.
You can visualize the mucosal wall, demonstrating polyps, diverticula, ulcers, masses, any type of defect on the wall. You would want to use air contrast in those cases. Okay, if a patient has hypertrophic pyloric stenosis. Okay, very good. On an infant, and you would use ultrasound. Very good.
What were we doing for that?
Remember that sheet I handed out? Remember I talked about under the ultrasound?
Yeah.
Infant, they have hypertrophic pyloric stenosis. What would you do? Okay, if you're doing a thin patient, upper GI, and you have trouble filling the fundus, what can you do? If you have an infant for an upper GI, and the duodenal bulb and the pyloric overlap, 25 degrees of phallic, how about a large patient? 35 to 40 degrees. Okay. What's the dose on a lateral stomach?
Of what? You mean
how much dose would a patient get for a lateral stomach exposure? 275. Very good. 275 mR for lateral stomach. What would you get for a lateral rectum? 2650 approximately. I think it's 2630. 2600 will be okay.
And you said lateral rectum.
Yeah, 2600 lateral rectum. What was the female dose for the lateral rectum?
350.
Yeah, 350 350 to 360. Okay, if you do an LPO on a patient, which flexor will show up on an LPO? Which one should be open? Okay, so you do an LPO, so we're going to look at this flexor, correct?
Right upside.
Yeah, upside. Okay, LPO will show this side. RPO will show the left side, this flexor. Okay, we talked about the butterfly to open up the sigmoid area. Okay, you can also do the LPO. The LPO also opens up the sigmoid. Okay, not as much as the butterfly, but it does open it. Okay. So we're going to do the LPO, see the right flexor and the sigmoid area on an LPO. So we can do an LPO, we can do the butterfly, and there's one that the text talked about that we haven't talked about very much. I think it may have been on the study guide. Remember the name of it? Started with a C. Jassard. The Jassard 14. Okay, some places I don't think they're going to use this too often, but if the radiologist asks for it, essentially it's when the patient bends over and they touch their hands on their toes. It's a left touch if they're sitting on the table. So this is, they have the rectal tip in. They're bent over. So you're going through double the tissue. You're going through the back and the stomach area at the same time. So you're going through double the anatomy. And it will open up the sigmoid area. So that's in lieu of doing the butterfly. Of course, the butterfly is a lot easier.
What would, besides just the radiologist liking it,
it'll show a different part of the sigmoid that's open. Remember, we can do an AP, we can do a PA, we can do two of ones. Each one shows a different segment that's open. So the Chisar is going to show a segment that maybe didn't open on another.
Really?
So if he's doing fluoro and he has a patient in oblique and he's thinking to himself, you know, this butterfly is not going to open it up, get a Chisar. So he'll leave the room and say, you know, add on a Chisar. Not very likely, but. Okay, the colon does not include what? Cecum and rectum. Okay, large intestine does include those, cecum does not. Okay, this is, what part of the colon is this?
Descending.
Okay. The lower portion of the descending, meaning this section right here, can also be called the iliac colon. So if you hear a radiologist or physician talk about the iliac colon, they're talking about the lowest portion of the descending. And what is this segment right here?
Sigmoid.
That's the sigmoid. Okay. Another name for sigmoid is pelvic. So again, if a radiologist refers to, I need to see the pelvic colon, he's talking about the sigmoid. So he's going to say, get me a Chisar on the pelvic colon. So they want to see the sigmoid. Okay, what are the functions of the ileocecal valve?
Controls the rate of flow.
Right, okay. Controls the rate of flow.
And then backflow.
And it prevents backflow. However, when you do a barium enema, you want backflow. So you're going against the normal operation of that valve. So you're putting pressure on that valve to push the barium through. Okay, the descending colon and the ascending colon are retroperitoneal. They lay behind the peritoneum. Okay, peritoneal tissue.
The ascending
and the descending are retroperitoneal. Okay, this is a rough drawing of the abdomen looking across. This is a soft tissue layer. Okay, this is the top of the abdomen right there. This area right here. Okay, this is the peritoneum. Okay, the lining that's closest to the abdominal wall would be called what?
Peritoneal.
Right? Peritoneal. Okay.
He's saying peritoneal cavity.
Not cavity.
He's talking about the lining.
Okay, yeah, just you. Okay, you're close. This is peritoneal. Okay, this is the peritoneal. Okay, so this lining then is the
visceral.
Okay, and the space in between peritoneal space, peritoneal cavity. Okay.
Parietal peritoneum.
Parietal peritoneum.
What?
Parietal.
Oh, yeah, parietal. Okay. You're right. Sorry. Yeah. Parietal is the upper of the peritoneal tissue. Okay.
So,
is
there parietal?
Visceral means peritoneum is closest to the organs. Parietal is adhering to the upper abdominal wall.
I get that, but you said the colon is our retinal peritoneal, right?
Right. They're behind that covering. You know, some organs are retroperitoneal, some are intraperitoneal, some are infra, so it depends where they're located. And it just so happens that both of these go underneath the peritoneum or lie behind it.
peritoneum and that.
Okay, what is mesentery? Okay, the mesentery is a type of peritoneal tissue. It's a type of peritoneal tissue that adheres the peritoneum to the abdominal wall. This area in here would be that mesentery.
Me too.
Mesentery is this area. It's a type of peritoneal tissue, so it's composed of this tissue here. And it's between the abdominal wall and the actual peritoneum. It's actually considered part of the peritoneal tissue. Okay. It's part of the peritoneum. It has to be between the wall and the actual parietal tissue. Okay, what is omentum? Omentum is also peritoneal tissue. And there's two main major layers, a greater omentum and a lesser omentum. The greater omentum is also considered a fatty apron. It has a lot more fat than the other. And greater omentum connects the skull.
The greater is considered what?
Fatty apron.
Did you watch Dr. Oz?
Okay,
the greater omentum connects the stomach to the transverse colon. And it's considered to be the fatty apron because the omentum is a lot of fat. But it is also part of the peritoneal tissue. The omentum is just part of it. Okay, the lesser omentum. Lesser curvature of the stomach to the liver.
Lesser
omentum connects the lesser curvature of the stomach to the liver. So these things are kind of like stabilizing some of the organs in place. I don't think it's connected to diaphragm. I don't believe there's a connection to the omentum on the diaphragm. I could be wrong, but I don't think there is.
Okay, I'll go next. The first thing you were talking about yesterday,
we
had like that hole between the organs.
Yeah, in fact, we're
going to
get to that again.
But
go ahead.
Okay. I just get to that, right? That what an
acre. Yeah. Through the omentum. And because we're going to get two tissues next to each other in the lungs, you can get a fistula.
Get a what?
A fistula.
A fistula.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because that will lead to the next question.
That's clairvoyance.
That's pretty good. If a patient has a fistula between the urinary bladder and the rectum.
I have a what again?
Fistula.
Thank you. Can you let him finish, please?
Okay, if there's a fistula between the urinary bladder and the rectum, what projection do you think would show that the best? So now just think of it. Think you're looking at a film, and you got a fistula between the urinary bladder and rectum. What position would you do?
Lateral.
Very good. A lateral. Because you've got one organ here, one organ here, and now you got a connection that you can see on the lateral. That's very good.
Lateral.
Yeah. On a KUB, they're going to lie on top of each other.
Yeah.
So now, if you turn them laterally, you got two separate organs, and now you got something in the middle, and you can see if there's a trap in the middle of the two. Okay. If a patient had that and they came in and they had a fistula diagnosed between the bladder and the rectum, and we need to determine what that is. What type of contrast do you think we should use?
Water soluble,
right. You definitely don't want to put barium into the bladder. So if there's a fistula going from the rectum to the bladder, you want to be squirting barium into the bladder. So water soluble, right. Okay. That makes sense?
Why can't you put barium into the bladder?
Because that's a sterile area. And you're putting hard barium that could actually harden up. That's not sterile. Put it in there. Whereas gas graphene is water soluble, so it's going to be absorbed in the body. So, yeah, if it goes in the bladder, you can see it on the images, but then it's absorbed. And it doesn't harden up and stays there. Okay, if a patient has a colostomy, what's the best type of tip to use? Tapered tip. The one that they show on the text has the little balloon on there. That's okay to use, but I think the tapered tip's a little bit better. And you just push it in depending on the size of the stoma. So if it's a big stoma, you push it in a little bit more. If it's a tiny stoma, you just push it in a little bit up to the tapered part. Yeah, but I know that those ones with the balloon, it leaks. Because you have to put backwards pressure on there, whereas the one that's tapered, you can have the patient hold that on and put pressure on. The other one, somebody has to keep pulling it, and you can't pull it out. So you kind of, that fine line, don't pull it out, but keep enough pressure on there. And then it starts leaking, so you put more pressure on there, and then eventually it pops out.
Do you have to keep putting pressure on the one with the balloon?
Yeah.
It doesn't like
sit there? No, because it's open on the inside. Oh, so you have to pull back on the tube to keep that bulb up against the tissue inside.
So that one's not.
Yeah, I use that, and almost every time I use that, I got leaks. Whereas the other one that was tapered, it worked for the whole time.
Except the Christmas tree.
It looked like a Christmas tree, yeah, but it has a big cone on it, yeah. Okay, yeah, let's move on. I think that might be it.
Is this a four resistance?
It will be part of it. Let's see, we don't have enough time today, probably. We'll have the exam on Friday. So everything we did today possibly could be on the exam, so we'll give you some time to review. And then I'll just hit just a few questions on Thursday of next week. And then we'll start the gallbladder next week. So we'll have the exam next Friday on the large bowel, small bowel. But in order to give you more time to study, instead of just like Thursday going into Friday, it's like everything we did today, including what we just did now. And then I'll just go over just a few fine points on Thursday. Okay, then also Thursday, then we're going to start the gallbladder. And we need to get through that so we can get to the last chapter, but we're kind of running short of time here. Okay?
So,
makes sense?
Thursday.
Okay. So the exam next Friday.
Oh, next Friday?
On the large part.
Okay, so that's the 19th.
And then I think the study guide is due on Thursday of next week for the gallbladder.
No. Next Friday
is
the
12th. Oh, yeah, next Friday
is the 12th. Gallbladder study guide on the 11th.
Yeah.
Workbook on the 12th.
Which workbook? The whole chapter 15.
Part 1.
That one's chapter 15.
This is a small ball of water bottle.
Okay.
And also the gallbladder.
It's your notes from
me. Oh, so both of them.
Both of them are on Friday.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, next Friday, workbook for the large small bowel.
I can't hear.
Okay, let's keep it down. Next Friday, the workbook is due for the small bowel and large bowel and for the gallbladder.
So two chapters of the workbook?
Right. Yeah, because I gave you the one for the small bowel a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And I gave...
So on Friday we're going to have the test on the large bowel small bowel. We have the workbook due on the large bowel small bowel, and the workbook for the gallbladder.
Right, study guide on Thursday.
And test on Friday.
On the 11th. Study guide for the gallbladder.
Study guide on Thursday.
Both the study guide and both the workbook.